Hi everyone, welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales. I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine magazine. Today I have with us Dr. Nathan Ledebor, and he's going to talk a little bit about the MALDI system.
Thank you, Kelly, and thank you to the ASCP for sponsoring this podcast today. As Kelly said, my name is Nate Ledebor. I'm an associate professor of pathology at the Medical College of Wisconsin and serve as the medical director for both microbiology and molecular diagnostics at Dynacure Laboratories and Frederick Hospital in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The take-home points from today's podcast are to evaluate and look at what's new in MALDI-TOF mass spectrometry, particularly around areas of FDA clearance, standardization of technique, as well as looking at some advances, both in identification of routine aerobes and yeast, as well as identification of anaerobes. Following our discussion on the identification of anaerobes, I want to briefly mention a few outcome studies that have evaluated the impact of MALDI-TOF to the direct patients that we end up to the direct patients that we serve. And finally, we'll conclude with a few future-looking remarks for those that are considering MALDI-TOF and have not yet made the decision to purchase this instrumentation. But first, some of the new advances recently. And probably the largest and biggest advance that's occurred over the last several months has been FDA approval of two MALDI-TOF systems for use in the microbiology laboratory. The FDA approval for these systems has ranged from identification of gram-negative organisms to identification of gram-negatives, gram-positives, as well as yeast. This represents a very significant advance in MALDI-TOF for the microbiology laboratory, because labs are now able to run this technology in the U.S., report patient results without having to encounter issues surrounding research use only labeled tests or lab developed tests. Along with the FDA approval have come a number of other important advancements. Probably the second greatest advancement that's occurred as a result of the FDA approval of these systems is that these systems can now be directly linked via middleware software to the laboratory information system. This is a significant improvement in the area of workflow, where previously labs needed to conduct paper plate maps, manually input information into the MALDI-TOF instrument, and then manually report that information. Now the MALDI-TOF can be interfaced directly into the LIS. Plate maps can be generated electronically. Technologists can electronically assign a position to an organism on the plate. Once the organism has been identified, the instrument can then again automatically and electronically communicate that information back to the lab information system. And this significantly reduces the chance for error, as well as makes identification using MALDI-TOF much more efficient. One of the other advances that's come as a result of FDA approval has been an increasing effort towards standardization of spotting techniques and identification techniques. Recently, a number of papers have evaluated the potential to directly spot organisms to the MALDI-TOF target plate. Once the organism has dried, they then perform an on-plate extraction, followed by addition of matrix, followed by identification of the organism. This can be applied to gram-negative organisms, gram-positive organisms, as well as yeast, with a single workflow. Again, this is a significant improvement for laboratory efficiency and also offers the potential for future automation of MALDI-TOF spotting using some type of an automated plate spotter or a combination of automated plate spotters and matrix addition systems. In the area of scientific advances, one of the most interesting studies that's recently been published regarding identification of aerobic gram-positive and gram-negative organisms was published by Seng and colleagues from the North University Hospital in Marseille, France. This group took a retrospective evaluation over 11 years and compared their identification rates, the rates that unusual organisms were encountered, and their misidentification rates, and evaluated the effect of MALDI-TOF between a conventional phenotypic identification and MALDI-TOF. From the years 2002 to 2008, the North University Hospital utilized conventional phenotypic identification as their primary method of identification. Using this method, as their volumes increased, the total number of organisms that they encountered that were misidentified also increased in a near logarithmic manner. When identifications of organisms were confirmed by sequencing and compared to the conventional phenotypic identification, the number of misidentified isolates continued to increase. But in 2008, when MALDI-TOF was implemented, while volume continued to increase, the overall number of misidentifications decreased logarithmically. So they entirely reversed the trend of increasing rates of misidentification using the MALDI-TOF because of the enhanced coverage and enhanced depth of the database. The same study also looked at the rate at which unusual organisms were encountered in their laboratory. For this analysis, they looked at the rate that 128 rare species were encountered, both using phenotypic identification prior to 2008 and MALDI-TOF identification beginning in 2008 through 2012. The interesting thing that they found in this portion of the study was that the rate that they encountered unusual organisms increased logarithmically, again, while errors and misidentifications decreased logarithmically. Advances have not only come in the area of aerobic bacteriology and identification of yeast. They've also come in the area surrounding identification of anaerobes. Several studies over the last year have evaluated the performance of both the Bruker Biotyper and the Vitek MS for identification of anaerobes. The first study, published by Damien Dubois and colleagues in the Journal of Clinical Microbiology in 2012, evaluated 30 anaerobic organisms for an identification to species, identification to genus, identification to the family level, or no identification whatsoever. The study included organisms such as Bacteroides, Clostridium species, Feingoldia, Prevotella, Propionibacterium, as well as Vilanella species. Among the isolates that were enrolled, nearly 100% of the anaerobes that belong to the Bacteroides genus, the Clostridium genus, Feingoldia, Prevotella, as well as Vilanella, were identified correctly to the genus level. A number of organisms, 13% of their overall population, gave them no identification, including Enterococcus, Clostridium, certain species of Prevotella, as well as a single isolate of Propionibacterium avidium. The limitation of this study was the overall N of the study, only enrolling 30 isolates, but again, preliminarily showing an excellent ability of MALDI-TOF to identify anaerobic organisms. A second study followed, published by Garner and colleagues in 2013 in the journal Clinical Microbiology Infections, evaluated the Vitek MS system by comparing Vitek MS to 16S rRNA gene sequencing. This study enrolled 651 anaerobic isolates, including 265 gram-positive species and 386 gram-negative species. Overall, the study found that 93% of the gram-positive organisms, including Actinomyces myeri, Actinomyces newii, several species of Clostridium, Feingoldia magna, Mobiluncus, as well as Peptostreptococcus, were all included in the study and identified at rates between 66% and 100% to the genus level. When they looked at identification of gram-positive organisms to the species level using the Vitek MS, they found an overall 91.7% identification of gram-positives to the species level, and they found overall about 6% of their population gave them no identification among the gram-positive organisms. Looking at the gram-negative organisms, again, only to the genus level, the study enrolled Bacteroides isolates, including members of the Bacteroides fragilis complex, Fusobacterium species, as well as Prevotella species. The study found 92.5% of organisms identified to the genus level with rates again varying between 42% and 100%. Of note, three isolates didn't identify to the genus level among Fusobacterium nucleatum, and this was really the standout among all isolates. For the remaining gram-negative isolates, identification rates range between 85 and 100% to the genus level. Among isolates that were identified to the species level, 90.9% of gram-negative anaerobes enrolled in this study identified correctly to the species level, with, again, the primary standout being Fusobacterium species, particularly Fusobacterium nucleatum, as well as certain species of Prevotella. The overall no identification rate among the 386 gram-negative isolates that were enrolled was 5.4%. In a study evaluating the Bruker biotyper's ability to identify anaerobic organisms, Schmidt and colleagues from the Mayo Clinic published a paper in the Journal of Clinical Microbiology in 2013 evaluating 253 anaerobic isolates using a user-supplemented database and compared to both conventional identification and biochemical testing. The study went further to evaluate the performance of both methods compared to 16S rRNA gene sequencing. The study found that when manufacturers' breakpoints were used for calling isolates to both the genus and the species level, that to the genus level, the system could call 92% of organisms, and to the species level, could identify 75% of organisms. Now, one of the interesting things about this study was that Schmidt and colleagues evaluated the effect of shifting the confidence intervals in attempt to improve their overall identification rate. So when they shifted their identification, initially considering scores greater than 2 or above as a confident species level identification, and they shifted them to 1.9, they found an improvement in the overall identification rate from 75% to 85%, with the correct identification rate going from 70 to 80%. When they continued to move that confidence level down all the way to 1.7 or above, considered to be significant to the species level, they could identify 92% of organisms to the species level, with 86% of organisms being correctly identified. Now, it's important to note that when they shift their confidence level from 2 down to 1.7, the overall misidentification rate went from 4.3 with a confidence interval of 2 to 5.5 with a confidence interval of 1.7. Similarly, when they evaluated the effect of shifting their confidence scores to genus-level identifications, they initially found using a 1.7 cutoff that 92% of organisms would be identified to the genus level, with 91.7 being correctly identified and only 0.4% being misidentified. When they shifted this down to 1.4, they were able to increase their genus level identifications from 92% to 98% and increase their correct identification rate from 91.7 to 96.8. The difference in misidentification between 1.7 and 1.4 at 1.7 confidence interval for a genus-level identification, 0.4% of isolates were misidentified. Moving down to greater than or equal to 1.4, 1.2% or 3 isolates were misidentified. What this data suggests is that the manufacturer's cutoffs with the Bruker biotyper are likely too high and that they can be shifted downwards in order to overall improve the identification rate. Finally, a study published in the Journal of Clinical Microbiology in 2007 by Justessen and colleagues compared the performance of the Bruker RUO database to the Shimadzu RUO or Vitek MS RUO database. What they found was that when they compared the two RUO databases to one another, that to a species-level identification, the Shimadzu Ceramus database could identify between 43 and 49% of isolates to a species level, and the Bruker database could identify 67% of isolates to a species level. When they looked at genus-level identifications, among the isolates, 35 isolates of their 290 total enrolled were identified only to the genus level, or 12.1%, with the Shimadzu population, as compared to 0% of the isolates were identified only to a genus level using the Bruker system. Looking at misidentification rates and comparing the two systems, misidentifications with the Shimadzu system was at 1.4% of the overall population, compared to 7.9% with the Bruker system. Now, the limitation of this study is that it evaluated only the research use only databases. It didn't evaluate the IVD databases that are now approved for use by the US FDA. Finally, I want to spend a few moments today talking about outcomes research with MALDI-TOF. And there have been a number of important studies over the past 2 years that have evaluated the clinical benefit to patients using a rapid identification system such as MALDI-TOF. One of the studies that was recently published by the University of Michigan by Angela Huang and colleagues evaluated the effect of MALDI-TOF and the ability to identify organisms rapidly from positive blood cultures. In this study, they compared two groups. The pre-intervention group, where blood cultures were drawn. When the blood culture turned positive, Gram stain was performed and was reported to the clinicians. Once the Gram stain had been completed, a traditional identification using biochemicals was performed, susceptibilities were performed, and the results reported to the clinician. In the interventional group, again, blood cultures were drawn and the Gram stains were performed at roughly the same time period for both groups. Instead of moving forward with a conventional identification, in the intervention group, a direct MALDI-TOF identification was performed directly from the positive blood culture bottle. Susceptibilities were then performed, and again, the results reported to the clinician. What they found was that by using a rapid identification with the MALDI-TOF, and again, this study focused primarily on gram-negative organisms, that when they performed a direct identification with the MALDI-TOF, in the pre-intervention group, it took 84 hours from the time that the blood culture was drawn until an identification was reported on average. This compared to the intervention group, where it took approximately 56 hours for an identification to be performed and reported out. And this difference was highly statistically significant. Differences were also observed for the time to reporting a susceptibility, where in the pre-intervention group, 87% of isolates, or it took on average 87 hours for a susceptibility to be reported, and in the intervention group, took 76.9 hours to report. When they looked at patient outcomes with each of these two groups, with 256 patients in the pre-intervention group, and 245 patients in the intervention group, quite interestingly, they found a reduction in 30-day all-cause mortality. Additionally, they found a significant reduction in time to optimal therapy, as well as in time to effective antimicrobial therapy, really highlighting the importance of rapid identification to the outcomes of the patients that we ultimately serve. Now, for those laboratories that are still considering MALDI-TOF, or those that are considering what the future of mass spec is in the microbiology lab, I have a few comments. Importantly, we need to note that we will continue to see migration of identification to mass spectrometry for microbial identification. And this is in large part based upon an ever-growing body of literature citing the performance and the cost reductions associated with use of mass spectrometry. I believe that automation will also simplify the setup and further drive down costs of the MALDI-TOF, eliminating many of the manual steps that are currently required to spot isolates, to add matrix, and to put the plate into the instrument for it to be read. We'll continue to see expansion of applications of MALDI-TOF, including to antimicrobial susceptibilities, identification of mycobacteria, as well as identification of filamentous fungi. And I also believe that the limitations of MALDI will continue to become apparent. For those institutions that are concerned that MALDI-TOF may be only the first step, or they may be wanting to wait until a next generation device comes out or is released to the market, there is some research continuing to be done. And one of the areas that a great deal of research is continuing to be done is on the actual spectrum that are generated by the instrument. Currently, when we identify an organism using MALDI-TOF, we simply take the pattern of proteins or the individual proteins that are detected, and we search that pattern against the database associated with known organisms, and we look for the best match. It's really a pattern matching process. But one of the important questions to ask is, what more can mass spec tell us? Can mass spec do more than just match patterns? Can it look at the population? Can it look at the individual peptides that make up the proteins and help us to determine not only what the identification of the organism is, but also help us to determine what the makeup of those proteins are and potentially predict for us antimicrobial resistance, type organisms, help us to determine virulence, and a host of other pieces of information. Now again, these questions are very, very early, and it certainly should not dissuade a laboratory from considering implementation of MALDI-TOF. But it's really one of the very exciting opportunities that's continuing to move forward as we move through the protein revolution. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast.